Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of Logan's Devotions. It's great to be together. Wonderful to open up God's Word for another day and see what He has to say. We're going to be turning through once again to the book of Mark and beginning at chapter 3. But before I read that, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you again for another opportunity, another afternoon to open up your Word and to see what your Word has to say. We pray that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you are saying to the church. We recognize, Lord, that we are dull and slow to listen and put into practice. So would you please help us by your Holy Spirit that this word might bear fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mark chapter 3, verse 1 to 6. Again, He entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, "Come here." And he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good, or to do harm, or to save life, or to kill?" But they were silent, and he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out immediately, held counsel with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. We find Jesus once again in the synagogue on the Sabbath, joining in the public worship of God's people, committing himself to God's word, teaching. It doesn't say Jesus was teaching at this point, but we can probably safely assume that he was. And so on this day, there he is, gathered together. And what does he find? A man with a withered hand. What does it mean by a withered hand? Well, you can liken it to a tree branch, which has no sap. If you've ever seen a tree, a sapless tree branch, of course it dies, it goes woody, it's good for nothing. Doesn't produce any fruit, doesn't produce any leaves, it just dries up and withers. So that's the type of picture. It's a man whose hand and possibly arm is completely withered and good for nothing. It doesn't work anymore. It's shrinkled, shriveled up. He can't use it. It's basically like a dead, limp arm. And whether the Pharisees brought this man in on purpose or not, we're not sure. But this man happens to be there on that day. And the Pharisees, seeing the man there, take it as an opportunity to look for a chance to trap Jesus. Of course, the question is, will Jesus heal the man, thereby working on the Sabbath, breaking the law of God, and ready to be accused as a lawbreaker? And they would be able to take him to the courts and prove to everyone that he's not who they think he is. Notice the Pharisees. There's two groups. I mean, there is the man who needs healing, but the primary men in our focus are the Pharisees on one side and Jesus on the other. And notice the Pharisees and their spiritual hardness, spiritual deadness. You know, here is a man, a pitiable man, filled with sorrow, filled with heartache, a withered hand. Maybe it's been withered since his birth. I remember playing golf with a man whose little pinky never grew. It was the size of a baby pinky. His ring finger was a little bit bigger, and all the way it went up to his index finger, which was full size, and he had this tiny little shriveled hand. Still managed to play golf pretty well. But I wonder if maybe he was like that. You know, this shriveled hand from his birth, he's never been able to use it properly. Never been able to put his hands to the plow or put his hands to the blacksmith anvil or put his hands to anything. There's a man who is weighed down under the effects of sin. And the only thing the Pharisees can see is an opportunity to attack Jesus. Not an opportunity for healing. Not an opportunity for health, but only an opportunity for death and destruction. The Pharisees The Pharisees have one goal in mind, and it's nothing to do with liberating sinners, and everything to do with obtaining their own will. And we see this by the hardness of their heart. Mark says to us that Jesus has anger and is grieved at their hardness of heart. He looks at them with a sense of sorrow, anger and sorrow, because their hearts have gone stony. They're not malleable. They're not open to receiving God's grace, but they're hard to the things of the Lord. And so as they look at this pitiable man, they only go from bad to worse. They don't get better as they're confronted with God's grace that could be visible for this man. They're just hardened. And this gets expressed, doesn't it, right at the very end, when it says, the Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. Rather than seeing and being filled with wonder at what God is doing in their midst, they can only think about, how do we destroy this man? And so here's the funny thing, the sad thing, they team up with the Herodians. Now you think to yourself, wow, who cares if they team up with the Herodians? The Herodians were their enemies. They disagreed completely with the Herodians. You see, the Pharisees stood for pure, unadulterated Judaism in their eyes. And the Herodians, they supported working together with the Greeks, working together with Hellenization and embracing the culture of the day. And the Pharisees opposed that adamantly. And yet here you see the Pharisees justifying siding with the enemy because their pragmatics stated they needed to get rid of Jesus. You know, we can be like that, can't we? We can harden our hearts to what God is doing in the midst of his church, among his people, for pragmatic reasons. And so I've sat with people who have been in the midst of a service where God has done amazing things, and they can only think about the things that were not according to their standards. They can only grumble and complain. They can only write letters of offense because they have hardened their heart to what God is doing in their midst. But notice Jesus. Oh, how wonderful our Savior is. In the midst of all of this, we see Christ's wonderful mercy. You know, the interesting thing is Jesus doesn't break the law. Jesus doesn't even heal the man, in a sense. Jesus doesn't do a work of healing. No, he just says to the man, stretch out your hand. There's nothing in the law against stretching out your hand on the Sabbath. And the man stretches out his hand and it's made well. God heals the man on the Sabbath. Jesus doesn't do a work. Jesus sets a broken man free. You see, the Sabbath was to be a day of rest, and this man got to enjoy true rest and freedom on the day of the Lord, in the presence of he who is Lord even of the Sabbath. And yet notice also that in the same time as Jesus is filled with mercy and grace and pity for this broken sinner, he's also both angry and grieved over the Pharisees. And this is an interesting reality. You see, Jesus is angry. He's angry because of the way these people are treating this broken man. But he's equally grieved because he doesn't want the Pharisees to be hardened. He doesn't want them to be like that. You know, we're reminded of that passage in the Old Testament where God says that I desire that none should perish, but that all should repent and turn to me and live. And so Jesus here is highlighting for the Pharisees what God will do for them. God will heal not the Pharisees' hands, but the Pharisees' hearts, but they are unwilling, like Jesus heading for Jerusalem, saying, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how long I have longed to gather you like a hen gathers its chicks, but you were not willing. And so we see Christ's wonderful grace and mercy even towards the Pharisees who seek to destroy him. You see, we must beware lest we become like the Pharisees, hardening our heart to the wonderful grace and mercy of Jesus. It's very easy for us to allow the wondrous mercy of Christ to become ho-hum to us, just another regular thing, and to not be amazed by it any longer. We must see Jesus and be filled with awe and wonder at who he is. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for Jesus. Help us. Help us not to be like the Pharisees, but to be filled with awe and wonder at your beloved Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thanks so much for joining me again. I'll see you tomorrow afternoon.